I'm just giving Sarah and there's Schultz.
She's muted.
She's muted. All right. Counsel for the appellant, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, thanks.
Thank you, and we hear you fine.
Great.
Counsel for the appellee, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right, because the two of you are now appearing and you weren't here, I'll just share with you a couple of things that I shared with the group before we got started here today. First of all, welcome. Thank you for joining us remotely today. This is Larry Welch speaking. I'm from Plattsmouth, Nebraska. Pleased to be joined by Chief Judge Mike Pirtle, who's sitting over here on my right. And I don't know if you can see her, but Judge Frankie Moore is also appearing remotely. Great. And she's from North Platte. Welcome, everybody.
Good morning.
We don't have to deal with masks for the three of you, so we'll dispense with that part of it. But we would just simply remind you in the event that there's any confidential information today, because this is recorded and ultimately archived, to just be sensitive of that as it relates to the nature of your specific matter here today. We had a little technical problem a little bit earlier. In the event when we're dealing with technology here, in the event that something happens, we'll stop the clock, we'll get things restarted again. I don't know if it'll happen again, but we'll take it, we'll play it by ear, so to speak. Counsel for the appellant, are you ready to proceed?
I am.
Please do.
Good morning. May it please the court. Good morning, Justices Pirtle, Moore, and Welch. My name is Tim Schultz. I'm an attorney in Fremont, Nebraska. I work at the Yost Law Firm. I represent the appellant, Victoria Peck, who at the time of trial was then known as Victoria Arrowsmith. As the record reflects, she has now been remarried and now has the last name of Brulinski. I wanted to share with the court just some brief historical perspective that I think helps to support our position in the various assignments of error. The original decree in this case was entered on January 8th, 2019. The father, who is the appellee in this matter, filed an appeal and docketed that with the district court on January 30th of 2019. The father apparently elected not to prosecute that appeal, and that appeal was subsequently dismissed. The father then filed an application to modify on June 20th, 2019, just a little more than 5 months from when the original decree was entered. That fall, the father asked for temporary relief and asked for temporary custody. At that time, the district court granted ongoing, continuing sole custody to the mother, the appellant herein, but did grant at that time an additional overnight for the weekend visitation for Sunday night into Monday morning. Eventually, a decree was entered on December 3rd, 2020, after a couple of days of trial over an extended period of time. There are several areas that we contend that the district court erred, and I'd like to just briefly outline those if I could. And we've got a fairly short period of time today, and there's lots of assignments of error that we assigned that we felt that the district court made various errors. First, the court, in a modification area, and as the court, I'm sure, is well aware, has to find a material change in circumstances and that it affected the best interests of the children. And the standard really looks at, was there a material change from the time the original decree was entered up until, in this case, the application to modify was filed in June of 19. So we're looking at, was there a material change in circumstances that affected the best interests of the children from essentially January of 2019 to June of 2019. The court appears to find the substantial or the material change in circumstances to be focused really kind of solely upon the mother moving from Missouri Valley, Iowa, which is east of Blair across the river, to Bellevue, Nebraska. And the court seemed to be have concern about that, and that seemed to be what the finding was based upon for the material change in circumstances. I would submit,
counsel, if I might ask a question, please.
Yes, Judge.
So I noted in the father's application to modify that some of the allegations, including the that mom was unstable and failed to provide for the safety of the children. Was there any evidence in that regard or any findings by the district court in that regard?
I think the simple answer to that is no, Judge. I don't think there was any findings of that at all. And that was something we went through in the trial, I think is in the transcript, but I don't think there's any evidence of that at all. And I don't think there was any circumstances different during this modification period of January of 19 to June of 19 than the father alleged in the original trial of things against the mother. But as the court noted, and I have my brief, the court found that the children were healthy and in a good home environment. So I don't think that's the case at all. And the judge specifically found as such.
Mr. Schultz, are you aware of any prior cases, either in our court or the Supreme Court, where it has been held that a move from outside the state back into the state qualifies as a material change in circumstances?
I have not, Judge. I did cite in my brief the converse of that, moving from the state out of the state. And in that case, cited in my brief, it specifically found that a move in and of itself alone without other circumstances does not justify a change in circumstances. In this case, the move was from, as you said, out of state back into the state of Nebraska. And as I put in my brief, the father testified that the distance from Fremont, Nebraska to Bellevue, Nebraska for him was approximately a 10 to 15 minute longer drive. My client testified that it was the same amount of time for drive. And in the temporary hearing, the mother presented like a Google Maps type evidence that the actual drive time from Fremont, Nebraska to Bellevue, Nebraska was slightly less than that from Fremont to Missouri Valley, Iowa. So I think the move in of itself had a de minimis effect on the father in terms of ability to drive and see his children. And in fact, he testified that he keeps his own hours or essentially controls his own job site with what he does. And primarily he works in the Council Bluffs, Omaha area, which I think is beneficial for him that he can see his children easily either before or after work if they've got certain activities or otherwise that is actually beneficial. And living back in the state of Nebraska, the mother and the children are again avail themselves of the laws of the state of Nebraska and not the laws of the state of Iowa. So I see it as very much a positive thing of moving back to Nebraska. And in terms of the ability to see the children, it made no difference in terms of the drive time. The court also allocated certain final decision-making authority for the children. He awarded joint custody, but said in the event there's an impasse, the father would be able to make final decisions regarding activities and religion. The Parenting Act is supposed to minimize potential conflict between parents. And previously in the original decree and in the temporary order upon the application to modify, my client was still granted sole custody. Well, it was joint custody, but she would be the final decision maker in the event there was an impasse. But not until the final decree was entered that the judge divided these things up. Well, certainly I could envision that potentially creating significant problems for the family and for the mother. Say the father wants to sign the children up for basketball this winter on Wednesday evenings in Fremont. Well, that's going to be a problem. These children go to school down in the Bellevue-Sarpy County area, and that could create a big problem between these two. He could do that if he's granted the final decision-making authority on that, and it could create quite a bit of conflict. And I think parents have different ideas of what these kids should be involved in activities. My client had testified that one of the children was actively involved in dance, and the father said he wants to have him in baseball. There's probably going to be a problem that arises with that when you divide those decision-making authority up.
Mr. Schultz.
Yes.
Did there have to be a material change in circumstances in order to justify a change to the decree in that regard as well as it relates to joint legal custody? Oh,
I absolutely think so. I think because the standard is a change in circumstances from when the decree was entered that affects the best interest of the children. So I think there does have to be a material change in circumstances. You can't just change it because the father asked for it. There's got to be a material change in circumstances warranted that's in the best interest of the children. I want to talk just briefly, and I know the time's running out and there's various assignments of error, about the summer visitation in particular. In this case, in the original decree, it was week to week, back and forth between the parents. In this case, in the modification, the judge said, well, Dad, I'm going to give you essentially the whole summer, and Mom, you're going to have 2 weeks. That seemed like a punitive measure against the mother. It appeared to be arbitrary and random. And I say that because just 5 months earlier from when the application to modify was filed, the court said it should be week to week. So how does that change? How does a material change in circumstances warrant all of a sudden snuffing out the entire summer for the mother essentially, and allowing the father to have the fun time in the summer and the mother to carry the laboring oar of caring for these kids and their schooling, their health throughout the entirety of the rest of the year? That's not fair. And it's not in the best interest of the children. So I would say, if I could just save the last 45 seconds for rebuttal, I would do that.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Counsel for the appellee, are you prepared to proceed?
Yes, thank you. May it please the court, I'm Avis Andrews, appearing on behalf of the appellee, Justin Peck. I would argue to the court that the judge's decision at the trial level is a good example of what is required by state statute, specifically 43-29-21, that provides the state presumes the critical importance of the parent-child relationship in the welfare and development of the child, and that the relationship between the child and each parent should be equally considered unless it is contrary to the best interests of the child. In this particular case, the court found that there had been a change in circumstances and awarded my client substantially expanded parenting time. He awarded my client additional authority making.
Ms. Andrews, if we could cut to the chase here. What was the change in circumstance since the entry of the decree that affected the best interests of the children?
Your Honor, I would suggest that there were a considerable number of changes in circumstance. First and foremost, the moves that the mother had made first to from Missouri Valley, and then ultimately.
And how did that impact the children?
At the time they moved to Bellevue, they started preschool. And during the trial, the mother disclosed that she was moving to Plattsmouth, and in fact it had an offer accepted on a house and that they were closing at the end of the month. She had not told my client that this was going to necessitate a change in circumstances as far as a second move. There had been an additional move into her mother's home in that period of time. And there had been also mentions to my client that she planned to move back to Missouri Valley and to the coast, which apparently did not materialize.
Okay, so again, I'll ask what evidence was there that the anticipated move to Plattsmouth would affect the children?
Well, it makes them farther away from their father. It involves another school change. I'm not sure how it's going to affect their day-to-day life. There was some testimony that they would continue to see the same doctor, which was farther away up in Elkhorn. So I just think that it uproots the children a third time in a very short period of time, takes them farther away from their father and their friends. And the mother's argument was that she had a support system in Bellevue, and that's why the children should stay with her. She's moving the children away from them. She's moving them farther away from her actual support system, which was, I think the evidence established was in Missouri Valley. and farther away from the father and his support system in Fremont, Nebraska. I would also suggest that you had asked earlier about evidence relating to the instability of the mother. I think that is one thing, the constant changes in her living arrangements, not just the move, but also she introduced the children to her fiance and moved them into his house, I think earlier than anticipated. She left them in the care of a grandfather who, there was complaints regarding his dirty house, the amount of alcohol that was evidenced in that house, et cetera, and which she of her own volition stopped using as a care provider for the children after that was brought up at the first trial. There's also showing the instability of her employment, job, et cetera. She started out being employed. Then she went to school. Then she was going to work for her grandmother. Then she
was. Ms. Andrews, if I could just ask once again, any evidence that any of those changes had a negative or detrimental impact on the children?
Your Honor, the children were only 4 years old at the time of the trial. There was no expert testimony. The mother did testify that she saw some changes in their behavior, which she, of course, subscribed to the father, and she was seeking out a counselor, but did not evidently follow through with that. So I think the mother's testimony suggests that there might be some. I think that there's some testimony that the children enjoyed the additional time with the father, and that he had been left out of some decisions regarding their welfare. I think that goes to the court's decision as far as involving the parent, the father, in making more of the legal decisions on behalf of the children, excuse me.
I'm gonna interrupt you for a second, but wouldn't you agree that the district court found that the children were doing well under her care?
I do say that the court made that finding, yes. But I don't think that that excludes the court from finding that the children could do better and that it would be in their best interest. I think there's a difference between doing okay and their best interest in that they could do better and have a better relationship with their father if they had more time with him. I think the evidence was very clear that the children were close to the father, that he was very involved, that there were activities, that he had a good support system, that the children saw their relatives and their grandparents and just spent major time with the father. And this was no small sacrifice on his part. The mother kept adding time to the distance to be with the children. The court remedied some of that by allowing him additional time, specifically the additional Monday, the additional Wednesday overnight, every other weekend, and the time in the summer. I think that gets back to the decision-making process. The father testified that he wanted to coach the children in baseball, and that would allow him the time to do that and the children to participate in that. At least one of the children was in dance. The father testified, I think, more than once that he supported that, and he did attend those activities as he attended school activities and things that involved the children. I think the evidence showed that he was a very good parent. I think other things that...
Second, because I want to make sure we cover a couple of other issues. With regard to the assignment of error, the $215 reduction for healthcare expense, was there any evidence that your client actually incurred an additional health insurance premium on the children's behalf?
My understanding is that the evidence indicated that Mr. Peck was a union worker and that a portion of his union dues were paid for coverage for himself and the children. There was no evidence that split that into how much went for him and how much went to the children. I think the evidence did say that he would have that cost.
Didn't he testify it didn't cost him an additional amount for the children? It was inherent in that?
Yes, that's why I was just getting to that. I think the evidence did indicate that he would have that cost, whether the children were included in that plan or not through his union dues. I think the court attributed to him that he was covering the children and had that expense and took that into consideration in setting the child support.
So was that error for the court to give a $215 reduction without having the testimony in there that there was an additional premium that he incurred on behalf of the children?
I don't believe so. I think we're talking about equity in this matter and judicial discretion. I think the court indicated that he thought it was fair that the father gets some kind of break or consideration for that. And also, I believe that it was within his discretion to do so.
Okay. And what about with regard to the contributions to the non-mandatory retirement plan? Was there any evidence with regard to contributions actually made to the retirement plan?
I don't think there was specifically. Again, I think that goes to the discretion and the equity argument. But I do note that the court, my recollection is that he gave that deduction to both of the parents, the mother as well as the father.
So if it was error for one, it was error for both?
It was. That's my understanding. I thank you for hearing me today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Was there any time for rebuttal?
We have 41 seconds.
Okay. 41 seconds for rebuttal, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just two quick points. Would the court have decided differently on a change in circumstances decision had the court known that the appellant was going to be moving from Missouri Valley, Iowa to Bellevue and then ultimately on to Plasma, Nebraska? The answer to that, I think, is a resounding no, because the judge decided the kids were doing well. The mother retained sole custody. The judge knew about that at the temporary hearing. So the answer is no. On that, the court would not have been persuaded differently had it known that at the time of the original trial. Secondly, the father thought week to week in the summer was good. He testified to that. He wanted that to stay the same. And the judge nevertheless granted more than that. I'd ask the court to consider all the assignments of error. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The matter is submitted. Thank you both for appearing remotely today. We will take the matter under submission.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.